the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what we're gathered here to remember this morning. But we can't help but think that as we think, as we dwell upon the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, it's not the end of everything. And the fact that when the Lord first instituted this feast in the upper room, he told his disciples, "This do in remembrance of me," but he also said these things are only until he comes. That's what the Bible tells us. And so, if we think about the crucifixion, we have to think about his coming again. If we think about his coming again, we have to think about why it is that he's coming again. And that, of course, implies the fact that he wasn't on the cross forever, that he wasn't in the tomb forever, the wonderful truth about his resurrection. So Matthew 28 is where I want you to turn to, and having found that, I want you to think, as you dwell upon the resurrection of Christ, about the exhortation against terror. Now, you'll see that the woman folk, the faithful followers, the most faithful followers of Jesus, have come to see the place where Jesus was. It says in verse 1 that in the end of the Sabbath, that is in the end of the Saturday Sabbath, the old Jewish Sabbath, it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. First day of the week in the Jewish calendar, of course, was the Sunday. And the Saturday was over, the first day of the week had come. And it says that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the sepulchre. The tomb, the grave, a graveyard is a place not enticing. It's a place of loneliness, it's a place of tears, it's a place of worries and fears, it's a place where we remember our losses, it's a place of weeping, it's a place for these women, at least, a place of apprehension. They were fearful and sad that the Saviour was dead and gone, as they saw it. And then added to that is the breaking of the earthquake upon their ears. Verse 2 says, "And behold, there was a very great, behold, there was a great earthquake." Not only was it the place of apprehension because of the earthquake, but because of the presence of the angel. The action of the angel and the countenance and the appearance of the angel was something which not only caused the soldiers to fear, but it also caused the women folk to fear. And the Bible tells us, or at least implies that, it says in verse 4, "For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." And then the women folk were exhorted not to be fearful. "Fear not ye." Why? Because they too, like the others, were fearful. There has been this revelation from heaven, this glorious messenger. He had appeared in brightness, and he had appeared in glory, and everything that happened that day, up until that point at least, struck terror and fear into the hearts of these followers of Jesus. But here, there's the exhortation against terror, because as well as being at the place of apprehension, as well as being afraid of the presence of the angel, they hear from that very angel's lips the preaching of assurance. "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." And that really is a message that God would have us to give to you today as we come to the table of remembrance. We're here to remember Jesus crucified. Presumably that's because we love him and know him. And if we love him and know him, and if we're seeking him, then as we gather here, and as we remember that these things are only till he comes, that the dead Christ, the Christ who died, is living again, then we have nothing to fear. Are you seeking Christ today? Is Christ all your heart's desire? Is he all your heart's love? Is he the object of your faith? And as you gather at the Lord's table, remember his death and the fact that he's coming again. You have nothing to fear. Nothing to be worried about. As well as the exhortation against terror, there's the encouragement to trust in verse 6. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Here the angel shows to them the fact of the resurrection. He is not here, for he is risen. If he had only said to them, "He is not here," that would have been no welcome news to those that were seeking him. Because if he could have been elsewhere, he could have been taken elsewhere. But the messenger says, not only is he not here, but he is risen. The reason why he's not here is because he's alive. Because he's really and truly alive. And we're not talking now about the idea of Jesus. You see the Jehovah's Witnesses ever come to your door and they say, oh yes, we believe that Jesus is alive, but it's only the idea of Jesus that they believe that's alive. It's only the spirit of Jesus that they tell you is alive. Well, that's a fallacy in the first place, because the spirit of man never dies anyway. So there's no such thing as reality. No, it's Jesus who physically rose from the tomb. Jesus is alive, that's a fact. And not only did the angel show them encouragement by presenting them with the fact, the angel gives the woman encouragement by presenting them with the evidence. He says, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Isn't that a lovely invitation? Come, see the place where the Lord lay. You know, the Lord lay in many places in his life. He laid in a manger to begin with, didn't he? We read of him during his ministry that he was asleep on a pillow in the hinder part of the vessel. But now the angel says, come and see his grave. Not his cradle. Not the places where he laid for rest in his ministry. Come and see the tomb. The last resting place of Jesus. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And there must have been joy in the hearts of these women as they saw the marks that he had left in that tomb of his love to them. Matthew Henry puts it like this. When we look into the grave where we expect to lie, to take off the terror of the grave, let us look into the grave where the Lord himself lay. And the encouragement to trust is not only in the fact of the resurrection and the evidence of the resurrection, it's also in the confidence of the resurrection. Their confidence is in Jesus' word. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Come, because he has risen as he said. When we view the empty tomb, we realize, yes, the word of Christ is real. He said he would die, and he died in history. Even secular historians recognize that. He said he would rise, and he rose again. Go to the tomb, he's no longer there. Just as he said. And if you can believe Jesus' word about resurrection, you can believe Jesus' word about everything. So get acquainted with his word. And the more you get acquainted with his word, the more you'll be encouraged. The final thing I want you to think about is this. We not only have the exhortation against terror and the encouragement to trust, we have also the engagement to tell. Verse 7 says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And it tells us in verse 8, they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and joy and had run to bring his disciples word. When we receive encouragement and the knowledge that our Saviour is living and loves us with an everlasting love, then it's our business not to hide it, but to tell it. And not just to the world. We all know that we've got to witness to sinners. What about witnessing to Christians? Isn't that what the Bible's written for? It's not just for sinners, it's for those that believe the word. Go, tell his disciples that he has risen. If you see a brother or a sister that's downcast, what's the best thing that you could say to them? Don't start and go and preach to them the five points of Calvinism or give them the whole scheme of Reformed theology. They don't need that. Just tell them that Jesus is alive, and by that simple word and that one simple sentence, you'll do no more harm and more good to them than you can ever imagine. So may the Lord bless these remarks to us for Jesus' sake.